Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be talking about preparing future missionaries. I'm joined with four special guests, and I'm actually very excited to learn today. I've had a lot of questions on my mind about preparing missionaries. I have a daughter who is serving right now in France, and so we just went through this experience of saying, okay, let's get ready, and then I have a son who's almost ready to push the button. He's doing his physical today as we're speaking, and so we've been trying to get everything ready that we can to help these missionaries do well, and so we just didn't bring anybody in here today to talk about preparing missionaries. We brought the experts. And so I know you're in for a treat. We have joining us today, we have Richard Heaton, who is the administrative director of the Missionary Training Center in Provo. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Brother Richardson.
Tell me just a little bit about yourself and your background with missionary, your husband, father.
Well, my wife and I have 9 children and 8 grandchildren at the moment, with more on the way, and I've been involved in missionary work all my life. I love missionaries. I have tremendous confidence in missionaries.
Served as a mission president?
Served as a mission president in Washington Spokane Mission. As a young man, I served in Japan.
Oh, this is great. You have been involved in missionary work from very early.
Yes.
That's great. Well, welcome. We're so grateful you're here.
Thank you.
We also have joining us the Cleggs. Ann Clegg is a member of the Relief Society General Board. Welcome.
Thank you.
And her husband, Richard.
Thank you.
And I'll let you introduce yourselves.
Well, first of all, we served in Spain as mission presidents. We had the opportunity of being there in 2 separate missions, the Bilbao mission in the north and the Malaga mission in the south. It was one of the great experiences of our lives. I served originally in Bolivia in perhaps what was known then as the most primitive mission of the church. Which was also a unique experience. Unique, and I just thought all missionaries were the same. We had wonderful, wonderful, sweet experiences. We love missionary work, and I don't think there's a better time in all the world for us to be able to go forward in missionary work in the church.
It's an exciting time, to be sure. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
We are parents of 5 children, all of whom, 3 have served full-time missions. One had a mission call, but then had change of plans, and another who had contemplated a mission, but then had felt the Spirit to not go at the time. So we've been through a lot with our children, like I say, 16 grandchildren, 6 of whom were born when we were serving on our mission, and
wow.
that was a good challenge. It was a fun time, and just thrilled to be here and thrilled to be a part of the missionary program. We love our missionaries. They're just like our family, and we believe in missionary work.
Oh, this is so great. And we also have joining us Randall L. Ridd, who is the second counselor of the Young Men's General Presidency. Welcome, Randall.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you this morning. You know, missionary work is the lifeblood of the church, and I was one of those young men who almost decided not to go on a mission, and it was one of those defining moments in my life. So I have a real soft spot in my heart. I served my first mission in Mexico. Then it was Mexico North. Now there are 5 or 6 missions where there were what was one then. I served from 2005 to 2008 in Guayaquil, Ecuador. And I have to echo what's been said, one of the great experiences. I think on your first mission, you grow to love the people. Your second mission, you grow to love the missionaries.
Oh,
because
great.
You serve them. And missionary work is always something that'll be with us, and it's dear to my heart.
This is great. I love what's been said here. And as a matter of fact, I think in any way that we serve, we grow to love the Lord more. And perhaps that's why this is such a fabulous opportunity, is when we're in the service of each other, when we serve our Father in heaven, we grow to love as He loves and to see as He sees. And what a blessing that is. And I'm just excited about this because this is something where sometimes people think that you just get ready to a threshold. This is the next step. Okay, time to go. We kind of do this in the church a little bit. We have progressionary stages. So when you turn 12, when you turn 8, you get baptized. And then you turn 12, you become a young man or a young woman, a deacon or a beehive. And then you go 14, 18, and we kind of go through this progression step. And for some individuals, they just say, well, I guess it's time to go because here I am. I'm age. And that's where I'm hoping we can focus our thoughts and our comments and get some help on this is there's a little bit more to this than just turning of age. There are ways that we can prepare to have this labor of love. That's one of my favorite lines from the missionary call, this labor of love, actually be successful, productive for all involved. So with that in mind, then let's take a peek at what's happening here with preparation, because this is on the minds of many, especially since October of 2012. I can't tell you how many parents I've had come to me and say, oh, can you give me some ideas and suggestions? And to use their wording, I've just lost a year with my son or daughter. It's very quick now that they're going out. We thought that we would have a year of getting them out and having experiences with school. We thought we'd have them have an experience of being away from home. This is another one that comes up a lot. We thought we'd have one more year to earn some money. And so parents and leaders are I don't want to say panicked because that's not really accurate, but they're worried and they're saying, what can we do to help prepare these young people after the announcement in October of 2012, where young men can now serve at the age of 18 and young women at the age of 19, and there's an urgency in this hastening of work. So with that in mind, what reactions have you had coming out with this preparation experience in your experiences?
You know, I had the opportunity to visit Aaronic priesthood quorums
all over the world.
And that's been one of the great experiences. And after the change in age, you wouldn't believe the difference in the whole spirit of a quorum meeting. There suddenly was a more serious tone, and you would ask the young men what was on their mind, and it was that one less year to prepare. And suddenly they realized that they weren't going to have as much time to prepare. And I think the spirit went over the young men of the church, and suddenly they felt like, we've got to prepare quicker. We aren't going to have that extra year. And even though they have the opportunity, if they want it, they don't have to go when they're 18. It was a real wake-up call for them, I think.
What's happening in the MTC, Richard, with 18-year-old, 19-year-old service? Are we seeing a lot of 18-year-olds?
We have so many missionaries. It's been so wonderful. In a normal year, at the Provo MTC, we'll receive 20,000-plus missionaries. And last year, we received about 35,000-plus. And then there are 14 other MTCs around the world, all of which receive North American missionaries and provide training to them there. And all told, we had about 50,000 missionaries who came through. And that this some have called it a surge, some have called it a tsunami. There's all kinds of words to describe it, but it has been glorious. And as the young women have responded to serve, it has been marvelous, a marvelous thing. And what it gets expressed to me is a concern from parents and from other observers that somehow the missionaries are going to be less mature and those kinds of things. But as you go out in the mission field and work with them, and as you intermingle with them at the MTC, you can't tell the difference.
Is that right?
Yeah, the Lord has raised up a generation, and they're ahead of where we were in the past, and they are equal to this call. They're absolutely equal to this call. And it's amazing.
I can't help but think, as you were speaking of President Monson, when he talked about whom the Lord calls, he qualifies. And I've seen that. And I love these two comments here is because there is a spirit of this experience and there is a maturing, I think, when the opportunity came, people were prepared. Or I think of young Joseph Smith is when Moroni visits, I have a work. The Lord has a work for you to do. And he steps up and fulfills that work. I have a son that's in high school. He's a senior in high school, and he plays baseball for his high school. And last year on his baseball team, they had 12 seniors on this baseball team, and 11 of them had their mission calls starting the baseball season. And to be honest, I was wondering, how is this going to happen and work? Because sometimes This is a general statement. Sports doesn't always bring out the best in human beings in certain circumstances. And I thought, how will these young men respond to having missionary calls, being prepared and serving in this high school sporting environment? And it was a wonderful thing to watch. They were prepared. They took it seriously. The spirit was there. And they said, we need to up our game. We need to represent well. And then the 12th individual just got his mission call and will be leaving just in a matter of a month or so. So it's I love this attitude. Any other thoughts?
Right before we came home from our missions, we began to receive some of these 18-year-old missionaries from Central and South America. Native missionaries who, as they came over, I wondered, how might this go? Because as 18-year-olds, we'll see. And they were awesome. They were just awesome. Their testimonies were as strong as anyone's, and their desires to serve our Heavenly Father were every bit as great. And they just took right off. There was never a problem in my experience with them. They just were grateful to be there, and they just led forward as if you would have never known. They were a little younger.
That is great. I work a lot with college-age students at Brigham Young University, and this attitude and desire to serve was just so exciting, actually, as there people were talking about it. And so I love this. And so parents, maybe we calm our hearts as this age experience, you know, it's working out just fine. Thank you very much.
Also, I'd just like to speak to all these wonderful young sisters that are going on missions. One of the opportunities we get as a member of the Relief Society General Board is to speak at the MTC for Relief Society on a Sunday. And I had that wonderful opportunity last June. And the spirit that filled that room was incredible. And I know from experience, I loved our sister missionaries, and I think how wonderful to have more sister missionaries because they are a tremendous force, and the spirit was tremendous there. They knew why they were there, and they knew their purpose, and it's great. It's great to see.
This is great. What wonderful comments. So help me on this one. For those that are listening and they're thinking, okay, so I have missionaries coming up. This could be, let me ask you this question. When do we start preparing for missions? When's a good time for parents and for leaders to start thinking, okay, let's start doing some preparations here. What's your reaction to that? When's a good time to start to prepare missionaries for service?
From the womb.
From the womb. Well, don't hesitate on answering here. This is great. Say more on this.
Well, it just begins in the home. The home is the central part of all of our lives. And mom and dad can be doing everything that they can, from bedtime stories to sharing their own experiences, their own to share their love and enthusiasm just for the work. But, you know, we're such a mixed bag of people. I mean, people come into the church at all ages, these young men and women, and they catch the spirit of missionary work when they catch it. But they should be taught where possible just as early as they can. There is not an auxiliary organization in the church that is not part of their curriculum is missionary work.
That's good.
From the primary forward. So it ought to be – we ought to follow that in the home.
Okay. Excellent.
Starting in the womb might be a little late.
You know, we do our best.
One of the great blessings of Preach My Gospel, which we've been blessed with now for 10 years, is that there is a purpose statement for missionaries. Prior to Preach My Gospel, there was always – the purpose was always there, but it was never articulated in a way. And that purpose is to invite others to come unto Christ by helping them receive the restored gospel through faith in Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end. That purpose has made a difference in missionary work. But what struck me as I've watched this for the last 10 years is that that purpose could be easily adopted by parents and by all of us as a way of life, that our opportunity is to invite others, including our own children, to come unto Christ. And our role as parents is to help them receive the restored gospel. And we do that by helping them gain faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement, by helping them learn the joys of repentance, the meaning of baptism, the value of the gift of the Holy Ghost, and what it means really to endure to the end. And you know, in Handbook 2, it talks about that we serve best in the church by following the example of Jesus Christ, right, so that we can help others follow the example of Jesus Christ. And as this becomes our view as parents and as grandparents for how we want to lead and administer our families, then that value just permeates into the family. And so as we're committed to come to the Savior ourselves and to really receive the restored gospel ourselves and go through an experience in our own lives, the doctrine of Christ, then we're in the best position possible to help and bless our children. So
this is really a good thought. As a matter of fact, as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think of the leadership training that we had last June on missionary work, on hastening the work. And we had Elder Holland and others speaking in videos. And I was so impressed in that experience, is it was so natural. That whole experience from members, from missionaries, from those leaders all working together, it just felt so natural. And as you were speaking, I'm thinking, isn't that the truth? Is this preparation experience is more than just administering a lesson or two, or, okay, we better have a family night on missionary work, but it's a natural part of not simply what we do, but it's who we are. And if that's conveyed in a very natural form of parents inviting, and if I'm catching this right, mm-hmm, it's so wonderful, because that is the best preparatory tool, is actually living, not talking about, but living.
It'd be wonderful if every home could be an MTC.
Wouldn't it be great?
It'd put Brother Heaton out of business at the MTC, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind that if that would happen. You know, but every family isn't perfect, and you love to see every home being able to prepare missionaries the way they should. And so the church steps up and does a lot of things. It's interesting how prior to the age change of 18, there were certain things that happened. Number one, 2 years before, there was a change in the Duty to God program, which really centered on a lot of the things that young men have to do to prepare to go on missions. In every section of Duty to God, it offers the young man the opportunity to invite friends,
right,
and to list friends that he can talk to about missionary work. In the book, there are about 63 opportunities that ask the young man to share. You know, missionary work is sharing. And so, you know, I think we miss some of the gems the Lord had prepared before the age change, and that was one of them. The other one was something you're familiar with, Brother Richardson, and that is Come Follow Me.
Right.
And that has a great impact on preparing young men for missionaries. And you probably can speak to that better than anyone.
Well, that youth curriculum experience is a great opportunity for them to learn how to live the gospel in inviting and sharing. That's what I love about this and I'm hoping that we can touch upon this, is, okay, well, how do we prepare individuals, or how do we give them opportunities? Brother Heaton, you mentioned about inviting, and so we should invite individuals to Christ. Now, I don't want to get too practical here, but we do need to get practical, and some will say, okay, great, so let's help them be prepared to invite others to come to Christ. And then the question is, How do we help individuals? And some of this is, as you were saying, Randall, is giving them a chance to share. Missionary work is sharing. And sometimes, especially in our rising generation, well, I guess every generation has struggled with this, but we kind of have this closed experience where we share not face-to-face, but we share electronically. So we share deep thoughts on Twitter, et cetera. But then when people are in the same room looking each other in the eye, it's like a panic, and they don't know what quite to do. And so maybe that's a way of preparation. How do we give individuals opportunity to work face-to-face? How do we help them to share, et cetera? And there's a lot of things in youth curriculum, in Duty to God, in the young women's personal progress. I mean, so many things. So help me with this a little bit. What are some practical ways that parents and leaders can do to help them be prepared early and through this whole process? Please.
You know, oftentimes as we witnessed our new missionaries come into the mission, there is a lot of little hesitancy to talk and to look at people face to face. And as mission president and wife, we would try to work on some of those things and do role playing.
Okay.
And we were discussing this actually at home, my husband and I, as how effective role playing was, and a family could do role-playing, you know, in their family home evenings, in their discussions, put themselves in the positions and practice. It was amazing what we how we could see the growth of our missionaries and how you can feel the Spirit if you're truly giving it, you know, from your heart, practicing it, and then going out and applying it. So as a family, why couldn't families, in part of their family home evening, children love to
That's
act
right.
out, to do things. They're probably a lot less inhibited than us as the adults. Do a little role-playing of giving out books of Mormon to people or talking to people. How would you introduce yourself? You could find your children would take to that a lot easier, like I say, than us as adults. It'd
this is such
experience.
A great comment. Such a great comment. As a matter of fact, I was thinking, as you're speaking, the first time that I actually did a street contact, walking up to someone and talking to them about the gospel, was actually as a missionary. And it was my first week in Denmark. And my companion turns to me and says, okay, go get him. And I'm like, hey, come back. What do you mean go get him? Like, how exactly do you go get him? How do you just go up and you talk to him and you tell him about the gospel and you invite him and let's set up some appointments. Whoa, how do you exactly do that? And looking back on it as you were speaking, I'm thinking it would have been nice to, even if it was a role play, just to get a little confidence of a feel for how this kind of unfolds. I mean, I was so excited. I was not lacking in enthusiasm nor desire, but I have to admit I was a little hesitant because it was new territory and I wasn't quite sure how to go about this and then also go about it in a new language that I just started speaking just 8 weeks prior to this experience. So I like this.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Richardson. I just wanted to share a quick story about one of the brethren that I had a chance to visit with after our mission president seminar. I'd taken 52 pages of notes in 3 or 4 days, and I've got to tell you, my head was swimming. And I walked up to him and I says, now look, I don't know how I'm going to ever implement everything that I've gotten here. And he said, he just laughed at me. He said, President Clegg, he said, we need two things. We need missionaries who, number one, understand their purpose, why they're there, and what that means. And number two, we need bolder missionaries. So how do you teach a missionary to be bold? And what we found is as soon as a missionary could get used to the idea of contacting and approaching people, perfect strangers, and feel comfortable in that aspect of it, that is when their missions really, really took off.
Because they were comfortable with that.
That's when they became real disciples of Jesus Christ, and they began to feel more and more and understand to a much greater degree their purpose, and they could accomplish that. And there was great satisfaction
this is really
in
good.
Their lives.
I was talking to a man who teaches sharing the gospel. It's missionary prep, so to speak, at BYU. This was many years ago, and he was saying one of the activities he had his students do was he gave them an assignment where they had to go and talk to, I think it was 5 to 10 people that they didn't know every day. And so, and I thought, well, this is the most unusual assignment. And so he would say, if you're standing in a line, just turn to this person next to you and say, how are you doing? And just strike up a conversation. Find a common point. You know, you give him a little bit of instruction. Find something where you have a common point and then talk about it just for a brief moment or two. And the students thought, this is not a very neat assignment, et cetera. But he said that the comments he got at the end of the semester, and especially when a lot of these missionaries were returning home years later, that that was one of the most meaningful experiences they had because they weren't used to talking to strangers. And what it did was, as you were mentioning, it gave them a confidence of saying, you know what, I can actually do this. This isn't that scary. It's not that hard. And actually, it's quite enjoyable. It's quite enjoyable.
They just have to get out of themselves.
Oh, boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, that's what mission. Well, that's what gospel living is learning to get outside of ourselves. And that takes a little practice.
It does. It's not easy. It's not natural. It's not comfortable. But once it begins to happen, what a blessing it is in the lives of these young people.
That's great.
So, Brother Clegg, I think what you're saying is that, piggybacking on what your wife said, is that role plays actually help them learn to do this.
Absolutely.
You know, it's really interesting because some people struggle with the notion of role playing, but it's important to remember who's really preparing these young men and young women to serve. Parents clearly have a role, but my testimony is that Heavenly Father is raising them up. You know, he says, right after he says, I will hasten my work in its time, he says, I will raise up elders and sisters, of course, and send them out to help take care of the flocks. And so how is Heavenly Father going to prepare us? Well, he prepares us when we act in faith. And we act in faith when we choose to role play. We don't role play so much to increase our skills or to enhance our wording or the way we say this or the way we say that. But we're saying to Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I want to learn how to do this. I want to become an instrument. So I'm going to try. I'm going to do as Nephi did. I'm going to go forth not knowing beforehand the things which I shall do, you know, or what we'll say. But we're going to engage in this process, and in the process of that role playing, we're going to experience what it's like for him to put words in our mouth. We're going to experience what it's like for him to give us in the very moment that portion that shall be meted unto every man. And as we get that experience, then we have more confidence that he'll do it for us when we're talking to others who are less active members or who are not members of the church and believe that he's led us to that. So role-playing is a really, really important way. And in a family, in a home evening to preach my gospel, for example, any paragraph out of chapter 3, which is the lessons that missionaries teach,
right,
and have a child read that paragraph or that section, look at the scriptures, and then just explain it. This isn't even a role play. It's actually doing it. Just explain it in their own words and bear their testimony about it and share how they feel about it. That's a great thing. That's a great thing to do to prepare.
What a great comment. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to piggyback on that in a similar way. Is acting in faith is so critical for these young people, but also leaders and parents need to act in faith. And sometimes they're a little hesitant, I've noticed when I talk to them, of role-playing in their homes and family home evening. Oh, this is going to be hokey or corny or this isn't really valuable. Is they must act with just as much faith as these young individuals in role-playing. And as they act in faith, as you described it, and as leaders will actually act in faith to, I think of young men's quorums and young women's classes, act in faith to let the youth curriculum be able to unfold as it's designed to, because sometimes the greatest hesitancy is in our adults and not the youth. But they too act in faith, and as they do, then our Father in heaven will strengthen them, guide them, and lead them. So this is a great comment all the way around for all of us. I guess we are all in this together.
I just want to add to this, one of the most spiritual experiences I experienced in the 3 years, and it's hard to pick one or two because there are many, but was actually in a role play where I saw a very shy elder. You know, this is for those that are extroverts, missions kind of, maybe they come a little easier, but there's a lot of people who are very shy. So in the family, helping your children there, they're comfortable. Well, we had this very shy elder and he couldn't speak Spanish very well at all. I saw in the moment he had a companion, his trainer was a gem of a missionary. And in the sweetness of helping his companion do this role play, and they were doing it to me,
right,
the wife of the mission president, so you know the anxiety was even a little higher. It was such a sweet experience how he gently prompted and was patient with this young elder to explain a point of doctrine to me. It came across with such love and without guile. It was truly a moment that all of us in that little grouping of five, there was five or six of us, we were all in tears witnessing this elder helping this other elder in such a tender way to be able to teach the gospel. It was such an example, a Christ-like example, as well as seeing this very timid elder able to accomplish something. It was very, very sweet moment.
Very nice. Well, sadly, we are out of time. It's hard to believe in some ways when we get talking about things that are so meaningful. It's especially in things like this. I keep on thinking, this is great. I need to take more notes. But what I'm feeling is perhaps even more important. And I'm grateful for your insights about especially how this is the Lord's work. And if it's the Lord's work, he will guide it. And we must therefore move our feet. We must be able to be willing to be able to ask these questions. How can we help individuals be ready? How can we be living this, etc.? But fortunately, we will have another episode on this topic, and I'm excited to explore some practical ways, other ways that parents, leaders, and even young missionaries can get ready and prepare for this wonderful labor that's so filled with great love. And so I thank you for your comments and your insights, and look forward to what we'll be talking about on our next episode. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.